لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأحدها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We were discussing the 25 practical tips which Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Ulum Rahmatullahi Alayhi had mentioned in the tafsir of this hadith of the Holy Prophet, which I recited in the beginning, that whoever exercises ikhlas and sincerity for 40 mornings, fountains of wisdom burst from his qalb and flow over his tongue. We started to discuss the 20th practical tip, which was about the husnul khulq, and that's where we discussed the concept of mutawadhu in Islam, and we were in the middle of the story of Hazrat Yunus ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. Hazrat Yunus is one of those prophets of God which performed Tarkul Awla, and he left his city 3 days before the arrival of Azab, which Allah had promised that he is going to send the Azab after 30 days. And on the 27th, that means 3 days before the arrival, he left the city, but without asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he left the city, what happened is that he went to the water shore and there was a boat ready to depart. He got aboard the ship and the punishment of Allah, which is the itab, arrived. There were waves surrounding the boat. They did the Qur'an that means they put the name in the lottery, like similar to the draw, and they put the name of all those people who were in the ship 7 times, and each of those 7 times the name of Hazrat Yunus came out. And finally, it was decided that he need to be thrown out of the ship. Everywhere they turned, they found a huge fish showing up, opening up its mouth, ready to eat up this person being thrown, which is Hazrat Yunus. They turned him to the other side, and the same fish came on the other side. Hazrat Yunus knew that this fish is muwakkal, is commanded by Allah, and he asked to be thrown, and that's exactly what they did. They threw him, and the fish gulped him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the fish that he is not your food. That means you're not supposed to eat him. So now we find that Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam stayed inside that fish, and for that fish, the narration informs us, was eaten up by another bigger fish. And that another bigger fish was eaten up by a third fish, which was even bigger than that. So in the stomach of three fish, Hazrat Yunus was being carried. And now the narration informs us that Allah made the body of those fishes in a way that it became transparent. So Hazrat Yunus was taken to seven oceans. He was carried by the bigger fish to seven oceans in this world, and the bodies of those three fish were converted to be transparent, so that Yunus can witness the ajaib and the wonderful and strange things available inside the oceans, which are the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, in the Dua al-Jashan al-Kabir, Imam alayhi salam mentions that fil bihare ajaibuhu, yaman fil bihare ajaibuhu, O you whose ajaib and wonderful things are in the oceans. So the oceans are full of the divine wonders, which we don't even know, you know. The scientists say 80% of the living organisms live inside the water. So we don't even know 80% of the living organisms in this planet. 20% live in the air or on the land. So 80% live inside the oceans, which we don't even know. Nobody can reach those depths and see and witness those things. So we find that Hazrat Yunus was now taken in the stomach of three fishes to seven oceans, witnessing the ayat and wonderful signs of God. And when he reached in deep down into the ocean, that's where he learned, that's where he heard the voice of some of those existences reciting this zikr, which is the zikr of Ahlul Bihar, zikr of those who belong to the oceans. That's where Hazrat Yunus heard this zikr inside the ocean, which belongs to those who live inside the ocean. In la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse number 87. So this Zikr Yunusi, how we call it, was heard by Hazrat Yunus. He heard from those belonging to Ahlul Bihar reading this Zikr. And then he started to repeat after them. And he was carried inside the three fish for 40 days and nights. For 40 days and nights, He was carried inside those three fishes. And some of the narrations in the history say that he repeated it 120,000 times. 120,000 times during those 40 days and nights. And Allah had commanded the fish not to eat anything. Allah commanded the fish not to harm him. So the fish did not eat anything anything for those 40 days and nights. The fish survived without eating any food for 40 days and nights. Because if it had eaten some food, of course it will harm the life of Hazrat Yunus. So the fish miraculously survived for 40 days and nights without eating anything. And finally, when Hazrat Yunus recited this zikr, his voice from the depths of the oceans reached till the muqarrabeen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closest personalities of Allah, the closest personalities. And when they heard this voice coming from the depths of the oceans, they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are hearing a known voice. And Allah, to these muqarrabeen of Malay A'la, Allah said, well, this is my servant Yunus, upon whom I did the itab. And upon the shafa'at of the muqarrabeen, of course the muqarrabeen did their shafa'at and intercession. And upon their shafa'at, Allah terminated this itab, and the fish was then commanded to bring him up to the shore. So now Hazrat Yunus is brought by the ship, by the fish up to the shore, and he came out. His body, his skin was so weak, and delicate. The skin and flesh of his body had become delicate by being carried in the womb of the fish for 40 days. Of course, when you are carried in that form, that's obviously, it makes sense how the skin and the flesh will become very delicate and weak. That's where Allah commanded one of the mountain goats to come and provide milk to Hazrat Yunus in that condition. You know, mountain goat is a very tough thing. When you drink the milk of this mountain goat, obviously your flesh will again become stronger, your bones will become stronger. So Allah commanded some of the mountain goats to come and provide their milk miraculously to Hazrat Yunus so he can regain his strength. Allah commanded one of the trees, you know, there was a pumpkin tree, Darakhte Kaddu. Allah commanded a pumpkin tree to grow next to him. And of course, this when your skin becomes weak and delicate, the sun rays, when sun shines on your skin, it's very painful. So Allah commanded this pumpkin tree to be grown next to Hazrat Yunus, where he was relaxing. And it had, pumpkin tree has bigger leaves. It can put its shadow over his body, so he can be comfortable under the shadow of this tree. And we find in the history that once he left somewhere, when he got a little bit stronger, he started to walk, he went somewhere, and when he came back, he found the same pumpkin tree or the plant became dry. It dried up. So he got angry. Hazrat Yunus was upset. was anxious. That instead of angry, let me say he was upset. He became upset when he found that this pumpkin tree is now dry, so he can no longer relax under it. So, so when he got anxious or upset about that, Allah sent His Wahi and Prophet Yunus, that you are worried about this tree, that means this tree getting dried up, but you were not worried about 100,000 people about to be punished. I mean, you are worried about this tree of pumpkin drying up, but you were not worried about 100,000 people of your ummah getting punished and receiving the adab. If I forgive 1,000 sins, it's more beloved to me than I punish somebody on one sin, in other words. So forgiving 1,000 sins is more beloved in my eyes than punishing somebody on one sin. So so we find after this whole thing happened, then Allah commanded him to go to his people who have already become mu'mins. 100,000 people of his population, after the Prophet had left, became mu'mins. So which is also another sign for the Prophet himself to realize that as long as he was there, they were kafir. But when he left, they became mu'min. Isn't that right? So the people of Prophet Yunus became mu'min after his departure. He came back to his people, and of course they were, now they are all mu'mins, they were waiting for him, they were wishing to see him. When he entered into the town, of course the king had already announced, whosoever gives the news about Yunus, he will be rewarded. So when Hazrat Yunus came back, he entered into his town, he found a shepherd with his sheep and goats. He asked him to give some milk, you know, maybe he was thirsty. He asked the shepherd to give him some milk. And the shepherd replied, well, since Yunus has left this town, there is no rain coming, and there is no milk for any of the sheep. There's none of our sheep have any milk here. And also the earth didn't grow any plantations since that time. So it's 40 days, more than 40 days now, of course. Because 40 days he stayed inside the stomach of the fish, and then he was relaxing outside somewhere. And so it's much more than 40 days. So for those 40 plus days, there is no rain coming from the sky, from the heaven. There is no plantations growing on the earth, and there is no milk for these goats. He said, oh, bring that goat to me, you know, that sheep. And he brought one of those sheep closer to Hazrat Yunus. And he touched, and of course the sheep started to bring milk. This shepherd was shocked when he saw that. He said, are you Yunus? He said, yes, I am Yunus. And so he said, okay, wait here, because I want to go and inform the king first, because I want to get the reward. The king had said, whoever brings this news first, he will be rewarded. So if you wait here, but what is the evidence that you are Yunus? And Hazrat Yunus said, well, so basically every stone and every tree of the city is ready to bear witness for him that he is Prophet Yunus. The stone and the tree, in other words, are ready to bear witness. This guy rushed to the king to give him the news ahead of anybody else, and The king was, like I already explained in the previous lesson on Thursday, the king was already a wiser. He showed that he was a wiser person. He was the one who asked his people to do the istighfar in that specific format. Then Allah forgave them. So the king, he rushed the king, and king asked for evidence from him. And of course, there was some trees around and some stones around, and he asked from the tree and the stone, and of course the witness was there. So he accepted the claim of this shepherd, and then the narration also informs us that this guy demanded his wish from the king, that I want to be the king. And the king gave his kingdom to him, and he ruled over the same city for 40 years. And the king became a servant of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So he gave the news to the king. King went after Hazrat Yunus and basically spent the rest of his life serving him as a servant. So this story of Hazrat Yunus, like all the rest of the stories of the prophets mentioned in the history, and some of those stories which are mentioned in the Quran, all these stories are full of ibrat and wisdoms which we need to remember and learn. The first important thing that we learn in the light of this beautiful story is that the rahmat of Allah is sabiq over his ghadab. Ya man sabaqat rahmatuhu ghadabahu. That means Allah's rahmat takes a lead over his ghadab, his wrath. So he is ready to forgive instead of punishing someone. If we repent and do the istighfar properly, Allah is always ready to forgive, because his rahmat is sabit and takes a lead over his ghadab. And some of the narrations inform us that the rahmat of Allah has 100 parts. One part of the rahmat and mercy of Allah has been divided into the entire existence. And the rest of the 99 parts of his rahmat and mercy is not given to his existences in this world. Instead, he will show the rest of the 99 parts of his mercy on the Day of Judgment for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam, of course, are the mazhar of all those 100 parts of every rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second lesson we learn in the light of this story is that making haste in any decision is not supported by Islam. The hadith says, Al-anatu min Allah wal-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. That means doing something in a relaxed, thoughtful manner. In other words, you think, you ponder, you reflect, and then you move forward, you take whatever action you want to take, you need to take thoughtfully, after tafakkur, in a relaxed way, determining what you are supposed to do before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of making haste and jumping into a decision in any matter of our life. So in a calm way, taking decisions in a calm way, this ni'mat is from Allah, whereas if we jump into decisions, this is from shaitan. So this, hasty decisions and hasty policies in our life, radical, you can call it. We don't agree with the terms used by BBC about radical Islam and and moderate Islam. There's nothing like radical Islam, and there's nothing like moderate Islam. Islam is Islam. That's it. You know, the way the Holy Prophet had and Ahlul Bayt have taught us was one single policy. Now, you call it moderate or you call it, you know, a radical, that's your terminology. You cannot impose your terminology on Prophet of God. Prophet practiced the divine commands in one single form, one single policy of life, not, you know, multiple or various or any other extremes in his life, on this side or that side of the extremes, Ifrat of Tafreet. This is the BBC terminology, which we don't agree with that, and we don't even like to use that terminology. Islam has only one single policy, and that is the policy of Adl and Aitidal, the mediocre path of Islam, which is the straight path. So we follow the straight path, which is the path of justice. The third lesson that we learn in the light of this story is that istighfar makes you beloved of Allah. The hadith of the Holy Prophet has said that al-ta'ibu habibullah, someone who performs istighfar, the ta'ib person, is a beloved of Allah. When we do the tawbah in our life, we are mahbub and beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we need to do the tawbah properly, not just if I say astaghfirullah as a lip service, which I already explained in one of my previous speeches, that tawbah on the seven conditions, which were seven steps of tawbah, which were explained, which we learn in light of the hadith of Amir Umi al-Islam, that I already explained. So it's not just astaghfirullah only, it's just we need to go through the whole process, those seven stages of tawbah, to do it properly. So the fourth lesson we learn in the light of this story is sabr and patience always take us to success. See, Imam Ali al-Islam has said in Nahjul Balagha that la ya'dimu as-saburu az-zafara wa in tala bihi az-zaman. A sabur person, somebody who always exercises patience and sabr in his life, a sabur person never misses out on success. La ya'dimu as-saburu az-zafara. That means the sabur person always reaches victory and success in his life. He's always victorious. He's always successful in his life. وَإِن طَالَ بِهِ الزَّمَانِ. Although there may be a time, a duration, a period, it may take a while. He may take a while to reach his success, but he's always successful. So sabr and patience is always good to have in our life. And as-sabru min al-iman, the hadith says the status of sabr towards the iman kar-ra'se min al-jasad, like the head towards the body. The same status that your head has towards your entire body, the same is the status of sabr and patience towards your entire iman. So just imagine this one value of Allah, sabr. If you lose this one value, it's just like you chop off the head of a person, what is going to remain? He would die. So if we remove the sabr from a person, from his value system, nothing of his iman will remain. So this is the fourth lesson. And the fifth lesson that we learn is that the sha'an of a mu'min is that he should perform everything for the sake of the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What should be the focus of our attention is how we can achieve the rida and pleasure of Allah. And these people, see, the hadith informs us that az-zuhdu ashratu ajza. Zuhud has 10 parts. Zuhud, we already discussed in those lectures when we were talking about the concepts of akhlaq in Islam. We discussed it elaborately. But to put it in very short words for those of you who are not present, Zuhud is a concept of Islamic morality, which means it's the nur of, it's the divine nur found in the qalb of a person, of a mu'min, which empowers him not to get attached with any belonging, any material belongings of this world of matter. So this is called Zuhud. So the hadith says, "Az-zuhdu ashratu ajza." That means if you have this charisma in your soul that you are not attached to any material belonging in this material world, so then you have this zuhud. Now the zuhud, you have this basic level of zuhud. Now this zuhud has 10 parts. فَأَعْلَى دَرَجَةِ الزُّهُدِ أَدْنَى دَرَجَةِ الْوَرَعِ. Highest level of zuhud is the lowest level of wara. Now what is wara? Wara means that quality, that nur in the qalb of a mu'min that empowers him to abstain from the harams and things that Allah dislikes. And on the higher stages, even from the shubuhat and the confused things. That is called wara. So the lowest, the zuhud has 10 parts, and the highest part, the highest level of zuhud is actually the lowest level of wara. So where the zuhud ends, that's where the wara starts. So if so then the hadith says, wa a'la darajatil wara adna darajatil yaqeen. The highest level of wara is the lowest level of yaqeen. So now we find where the wara ends, that's where the yaqeen and certitude starts. And then the hadith says, wa a'la darajatil yaqeen adna darajatir ridha. And the highest level of yaqeen is the lowest level of ridha. So now you can understand the highness of the concept of ridha, being pleased with all the decisions of Allah and qada and qadar of Allah in every matter of human life. Whatever is Allah, whatever Allah is doing towards us, we should be razi and pleased. That's the best. Alhamdulillah, in all situations. So the highest level of yaqeen is the lowest level of ridha. So somebody who is ahlul yaqeen, he is not necessarily ahlul ridha as well. Isn't that right? Maybe if he is on the highest level of yaqeen, then that's where the lowest level of ridha starts. So somebody who is ahlul wara is not necessarily ahlul yaqeen, because where the highest level of wara ends, that's where the lowest level of yaqeen starts. The lowest level of yaqeen is the highest level of wara. And likewise, somebody who's ahlul zuhud is not necessarily ahlul wara, because the highest level of zuhud is the least level of wara. So the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam were always razi and pleased with every decision of Allah perfectly, which gives them the highest status in the eyes of Allah. So that's why they never did anything which displeases God. That's why they never performed any tarkul awla in their life, because they were involved in the deep love towards Allah. Maybe one of the reasons were these, the deep love towards and the ishq towards Allah and the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once Anas bin Malik saw the Holy Prophet sleeping, relaxing, and Prophet was relaxing on the leaves, the mattress of the Holy Prophet. Some of the narrations say Prophet, of course, had no mattress. What he used to sleep was his aba. So one of his aba, it was folded in two layers, and upon the two layer folded abba, Prophet used to sleep. Once one of his wife folded his abba into four layers, instead of two. And the narration informs us that on that morning, at the time of Sahar, Prophet woke up a little bit later than the time he used to usually wake up for Sahar. A little bit later. And he said to his wife, to that wife, that fold my abba into two folds. That means don't fold it into four folds. Because of that, so we understand that every comfort and rahat that we go for in this world has an impact on our spirituality. So Prophet was sleeping on the mattress was what? Leaves of the date palm tree. Date palm tree is the cheapest thing in the Arab peninsula. Isn't that right? Everywhere you find the date palm trees. You know, it's the cheapest possible thing. The leaves of the date palm tree are available everywhere. It's just lying down on the streets. Nobody bothers about that. Isn't that right? And the mattress of the Prophet was made of the leaves of the palm tree. And Anas bin Malik says, I saw the Prophet lying on that, and the mark of the leaves of the tree was formed on his side. The side of the body of the Holy Prophet and had the mark of the leaves of the tree. Of course, when you lie on such a rough substance, it will leave a mark on your body. So Anas bin Malik say, I saw the marks of the leaves of the tree, and he started to cry. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, Kasra and Qaisar are sleeping over silk mattresses. Qaisar was the ruler of the Roman Empire, and Kasra was the ruler of the Persian Empire. So Anas said to the Prophet that Kasra and Qaisar are sleeping on the silken mattresses, in other words, and you are sleeping on this leaves of the palm tree. And Prophet said, you don't know that lahumud dunya wa lana al-akhirah. For them belongs dunya, and for us belong akhirah. And also the Prophet has said, وَمَا الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Please pay attention. وَمَا الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا كَمَا يَجْعَلُ أَحَدُكُمْ السَّبَّابَةَ فِي الْيَمْ فَلْيَنْظُرْ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ. The example of dunya, dunya is nothing in akhirat except if one of you puts his finger into an ocean and then sees what comes back to him. If you put your finger into the ocean, how much water will get attached to your finger? Just a few drops. Isn't that right? Look at the example Prophet is saying, giving to us to make us understand the importance of the life in this world as compared to the eternal life of the Day of Judgment, eternal life of Akhirat, which is forever. So the example of this dunya is just like one of you puts his finger into the ocean and then sees what comes in his finger. There's a few drops. So Prophet never cared about dunya and also never cared about akhirat. Dunya and akhirat both were presented in front of Rasulullah. He didn't even pay attention to none of those two because he was engaged with the love of Allah. So he had already said that ad-dunya haramun ala ahli al-akhirah. وَالْآخِرَةُ حَرَامٌ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمَا حَرَامَانِ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ اللَّهِ. Dunya is haram on those who belong to akhirat, and akhirat is haram on those who belong to this dunya, to dunya, and both of them are haram for those who belong to Allah. وَهُمَا حَرَامَانِ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ اللَّهِ. So Prophet is Ahlullah. He doesn't care about dunya, he doesn't care about akhirat. Everything he performs is for the sake of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his ishq. Not for the sake of akhirat or dunya. What to talk of somebody who is worshipping the Tawhut in his life, you know. So I think we are at the end of the time already. Inshallah, we'll continue this discussion in the next Thursday. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. Ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal muslimin. واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين